this time on Kawaii-Fi Radio. Tifa takes a well-deserved holiday.
We know you show up here for Tifa.
Yes.
We're short-staffed.
We talk live-action One Piece.
The show itself is about exploring the world. Mm. You're not going to get white people everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you are because we're a plague, but...
And we review the Sandlands anime.
I apologize to everyone that's a fan of this show. It is so good.
It is incredible.
I apologize for not watching it soon enough.
Yes.
Kawaii-Fi Radio.
Konnichiwa and welcome. You tune into Kawaii-Fi Radio, the podcast we dive into the world of anime, manga, and Japanese otaku culture. I'm Kyle. With me is Aaron. And Kenny, I got it right this week.
Yeah.
You don't have to rock off and choose who's what. And it's this episode.
We say no to the rock.
We say no to the rock. That's why there's sand everywhere. And we're talking about Sandland. Tifa would love to be here, but she's on night shifts and then she's going traveling.
She
probably won't be back for about two episodes. So not this episode, not the next episode.
So like a month.
About a month away. But she is coming back. Don't worry about that.
Sorry, sports fans.
Yep.
We know you show up here for Tifa.
Yes.
We're short-staffed.
And she can't respond. But we'll see you next week anyway. Anyway, this episode, it is Sandlands. I can't believe we just opened with ripping on Tifa. Sorry, Tifa.
Hi, Kat.
So this episode is Sandlands. It is the last sort of major project that the creator of Dragon Ball was working on before he passed away. It started out as just a single, like a one-shot, and then it's turned into a game, which he's done the character design for, and now it's a series which extends even further.
It's like a bunch of his old sketches are in there.
Yeah.
I think he's been like pondering this for ages. It's just that he's had so much to do with Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, it's a fantastic series. We shouldn't have slept on it because it's sandy and sand gets everywhere and it's uncomfortable to sleep in. However, you should watch it. Watch the series. The movie kind of is like the first six episodes abridged. It's the pacing of the series is really good, so I don't feel like you need to swap between like watch one and then skip ahead. But yeah, 13 episodes, very easy to binge. I literally binged all of it except for the finale last night because it was 2 a.m. and I had to go to bed.
Whereas good Aaron here, he had a good shot at the game.
Yeah, he's going to be our expert on this because you've like absorbed everything. Yes. Sandland for the past 2 weeks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
I went full angel.
You did. Never go full angel. Anyway, before we get stuck into that, let's talk about what's going on in, well, what's kind of been airing at the moment, what we've been watching.
I have no idea how old I am or where I came from.
Daddy! Ohayo!
Hang time! I gotta go!
I have to know! Hooray! I did the thing!
Oni-chan, nani wo miru?
What we're watching.
Oh, Oni-chan.
Tiny little schoolgirl outfit.
I mean, like...
you have a type.
Isn't it in, like, Makoto... not Makoto. Chainsaw Man. Mm. Fujimoto 1724, where it's, like, the alien, the yellow alien lady in the tiny school outfit.
Yep, yep.
So, on that note, you've been watching... August, Aaron?
August.
So this is spelled O-R-G-U-S.
That's not how you spell August.
No, it's not.
It's not August, it's August.
It's to do with like organs. No, it's
no,
not.
So they actually do discuss why it's called August in the show.
Super Dimension Century August?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Look at it. Look at how terrible it is.
It definitely does it's not look
ancient.
When did this come out? 1980? Dude, how far back did you go on
what
there?
What in the hells?
I was scrolling through Crunchyroll.
All right.
And on the thing, it says, set in the distant future, the year 2026.
And you were like, okay, I need to know.
Yes, I was like, absolutely, I need to know what are we doing in the future.
Wow, this is some wacky art.
Look at that hair.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
So this has recently been released on Blu-ray by Discotex. So that kind of explains why
that's
it might have
why.
Become.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a full remaster. Okay, so
it's very reminiscent of Macross.
It was meant to be the third season of Robotech, but it didn't end up happening.
That would do it.
Yeah.
So basically, the premise is there's this dude. He's like a fighter pilot in the distant future, the year 2026. And there's a space bridge. And the corporations are fighting over the space bridge.
Oh.
And he's on a mission to plant a bomb. But then he gets told not to plant the bomb and to run away. And he's like, but why? We've already planted it. We just got to press the buttons and detonate it. So he does that even though he was told not to.
This sounds like Gundam Wing with extra steps and
stupidity.
It sounds
like the end of Neon Genesis. Hey, Shinji, don't touch the spear. I'm going to touch the spear.
Yeah. Look, I can't disagree with you. It didn't. There's technicalities around it, but you're still right. Didn't follow instructions, caused end of world.
Yes.
So,
with this bomb going off at the space bridge, it causes a rift in the dimensions, causing multiple planets to sort of come into the same space, and there's rifts and dimensional warping.
I mean, that's a cool idea, yeah.
Yeah. Problem is, like, it's a great concept, but they don't execute the finer details well. The dude's a massive misogynist. He, like, forcibly kisses several of the women, one of which has somebody she's already interested in and is clearly not interested in this dude, but he keeps...
I mean, this is 83 to 84, and there's no defense of that.
I don't think we can blame the 80s on that.
No, we can we can't blame the 80s on it. We can blame male
democracy.
Chauvinism at that time on it.
It's very much a product of that and those times where people were more forgiving of those things.
Which they shouldn't have been, but yeah.
And so, there's like aliens because there's no real humans anymore. All the girls have, like, tentacles coming out of their heads.
I did wonder about that because I saw, like, these weird sort of alien things they're riding on in the picture.
Yeah, and there's, like, dragon people and all that. Because of all these different planets converging into the same... Into the same space through the dimensional...
rift thing, yeah.
That's
a lot.
Yeah.
And also...
Believe it or not, I watched 5 episodes.
Wow. Well, there's only 35 and only 17 were originally available in English before the, before the Blu-ray release where it was re-released.
But the dubbing, I watched the dub.
Is it bad?
It is so bad. It is people reading a script.
Dub-only format was taped on from US Renditions, which was a special projects division of Books Nippon. That was in the 90s, early 90s. So, yeah, this was before effort was being put in outside of some of the major studios who were...
It's legit people just reading lines in a room. Oh. And then, like, so he starts off with, like, a Macross-style plane. Like, it can transform into having legs.
Mm. Oh, yep.
And then back to a plane. And, you know, like, the half-torso
thing. How
do
legs serve better in plane combat?
Well, it's not plane combat. It's when he lands and he needs to do, like, fine mechanical things because it also shoots out, like, little tiny twig arms to do precision things.
Yeah, it's a weird-looking robot
from its legs.
And then later on, he gets the full body. He gets a full mecha plane.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's the name of the series, the Orgus, is what
which
it's named
is the
on.
Name of the plane.
Yeah.
Which is one of the dragon people's word for destruction or something.
Oh.
I watched like 5-6 episodes of this and I just got to the point where I was like, I get it and I am not enjoying this. I don't think anyone else should really watch this. And, like, each of the dimensions...
That's why you're telling everyone about it today.
Yes, so that they don't watch it because, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, people. Don't go and watch some random anime from the 80s.
Yeah, you can go and find it on TMS's official YouTube channel in full. They released it there, along with Megalobox in full, Cat's Eye in full, and most of Lupin the Third is available for free on TMS, anime on TMS official channel on YouTube.
Hmm.
Wait, did I talk about the Mega Man Star Force anime being on YouTube?
Yes, you did previously.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
Mega Man Star Force anime is on YouTube. Go watch that.
Yeah.
The entire thing's out there now.
Looks like Sonic X is on here as well.
Sonic X? What are we doing?
Yeah. Season 3, and then there's just a playlist called Gotta Go Fast. I'm just going to check if this is like the whole...
Have we talked about Sonic X on the show?
We did. No, because we were going to do a special episode with Terry on it.
We need to call in Terry.
Yeah, line it up just before the next film.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
That's March next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can do it towards the end of this year.
Yeah.
Get people hyped. Yeah.
We have so many theories.
So many theories. I hope they don't ruin it with all the screens. Okay, moving on from
moving on.
This will be a bit more short. Jujutsu Kaisen Season 3 Part 1 of the Culling Games I've been watching. It's been done really well. Some people are complaining about a lot of the flashbacks in it. It's frustrating and it's a little confusing because of how much information needs to be provided so that you can understand the next two parts. And because of that, it's resulted in, like, episode 4 in particular felt like they just dumped information for the whole episode, and it was really hard to wrap your heads around.
Yeah, but that came after a really good episode.
It did. Don't be wrong. I'm not complaining about the start. It's just, like, people felt like it dropped off there because of that. Just understand that, like anything where it, because this is the most important arc of the manga, I would say, because of that, you need to understand the elements of it and how they interplay. And once you get around it, and it's, you do have to pay attention for that episode to get your head around how it all works, but it gets reinforced throughout the next rest of the season, and it's been really well done. Like, some of the new sorcerers we're meeting, the ones who have either been reincarnated from the past or who have been awoken, have amazing abilities.
Absolutely.
And it's really good. And some of the fights are really good, and we were discussing about this on the pre-show. if you want access to the pre-show, which is an additional podcast, it's on our Patreon, details below. The comedy guy.
The comedian, yeah.
Is like the best character. You think he is going to be the worst. You like all of the lead up to him.
I wouldn't say he's the best character.
No. Every moment he has been on screen since he has awoken has been phenomenal. And you think in the lead up he's going to be the cringiest, most annoying character. But his ability is literally that...
He's a Looney Tune.
He's a Looney Tune. His ability that has awoken, he doesn't realize it's his ability. He just thinks he's doing gag comedy, but whatever he thinks is funny becomes reality. So if, you know,
which is a terrifying thought.
I know, right? Like, if a building gets blown up and he thinks it'd be funny for him to appear out of a manhole cover, he's going to do that and survive.
His best friend asks for 40 candles on a cake and he goes ahead and does it, it's going to be funny, right?
I'm sorry, Brendan. We can't control him.
I still find myself laughing at the Ocean Gate.
The Ocean Gate?
The submarine where a bunch of billionaires
went to go see Titanic.
Tuna.
how does that relate to...
It's just, you know...
His perception of reality.
It's something I find absolutely hilarious. And if I kept... If it was
so
a case
if you had that power, it would be really bad.
Is funny to me.
Yeah. Dark humor, I guess. But this is why, like, with him, the comedy works because it's based on, like, that traditional, you know, you've got the funny man and the straight man in most stand-up duos.
And in Chainsaw Man, everyone's the goddamn straight man.
Well, not Chainsaw Man, Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah, sorry.
But also, yes. wait. Also, Chainsaw Man's manga...
I'm sorry, I'm tired. I need more coffee.
...is ending. We think it might be a final ending next week, but we don't know. So we'll update you on the at the start of the next episode if it is over or if it's the end of the part. But it is, like...
Everybody's making fun of that one panel scene.
Yeah. it's look, it's weird that it's gone like that. It kind of feels like Fujimoto's just panicked and ended it. But we don't know what's going on. So if you are reading the manga and excited for part two of the anime, just be aware it might not get adapted if this is the end, because that would just feel like a... And we're done. You know, if
bit of a slap in the face.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Ding!
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from that, we have all been watching the One Piece live action. That includes Tifa and Emma as well. And it's amazing.
It's actually good. They have pulled off a miracle. Yeah,
they've got Kenny to like a live action. A Hollywood live action.
Not just
what the cheese.
But they've also gotten Kenny to actually sit down and watch One Piece.
Yes.
Yep. That is
like the original.
The OG.
That is, in fact, what I'm watching. Mm-hmm. I have gone back and started on the great journey. I am 31 episodes in to the original One Piece series.
31 episodes in, how many people have you met?
That'd still be very early.
Like, as in the crew? Or?
Yeah, so you'd have Luffy and I'm guessing Zoro so far.
Oh, no, way further than that.
Oh, okay.
Up to, what's his name, Arlong's? Swordfish.
Oh, so Nami's Island. So we'll have Usopp as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
I cannot wait for you to get to Thriller Bark. That was my favorite arc.
I've heard mostly because I've been looking up Brooks's whole backstory because of season 2 of the live action.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's so good.
Yeah.
I had Brendan asking me questions about that because he was watching it and he's like, Aaron, I have a question regarding One Piece. You've seen One Piece, right? I'm like, unfortunately, yes. And he's like,
boo.
Do they ever come back for Laboon?
Laboon does reappear in multiple chapters in the future. So it's not so much that he's left the location, but he's happy there. And he doesn't feel separate anymore.
And Crocus, the guy there with him, is chill with him.
I love Crocus. They all, like, Crocus's, they messed... What missed one of the best jokes from the manga with Crocus?
Yeah,
because he's like, you know, do you want to fight? And he's like, yeah. What? You know, I'll take you on. And he's like, you don't want to do that,
or someone will die.
And he's like,
oh yeah,
me. It's like that would have been amazing afterwards. Like, you know, yeah,
because that's his whole thing. It's just like all of the dramatic pauses and stares with that guy, and he just says some outlandish stuff.
Yeah, it was great. Like. It was genuinely...
Look, that is going to be the thing. It's my whole takeaway from watching OG One Piece and the Netflix One Piece. There are always going to be changes in adaptation. They cannot cover the OG stuff scene for scene in the live action. It ain't possible.
No,
it ain't
feasible. The way they adapt it... Oh, my God.
This is the thing that we were discussing as well. Like, they're not doing things scene for scene because that's what brought down previous live actions.
Mm-hmm.
Having some of those scenes like be a single shot as opposed to a long hold is much better. And it seems like whoever's in charge of direction and action, the actual way to do it, has known that.
There are small changes. There are like spoilers revealed in the live action, like hints at stuff in the much further future that were not in the anime. They've brought a bunch of stuff forward to certain revelations.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I put... If I say it the way I'm going to upset a Lord of the Rings fanboy. It is sort of similar between how it was done between the Lord of the Rings book and the actual movies by Peter Jackson. It's Lord of the Rings is a very, very ponderous tome. It is huge. It meanders. It's Tolkien was a fascinating writer, but my God, he loved his trees. Fixated on them.
Oh, I know, right? Especially at the start of the Two Towers book.
Wow.
It's just like, oh, come on.
But, and like, there are things missing that were in the books which were taken out from the movies to keep the tone and everything consistent, to like, keep the sort of storytelling format as it should be. You can argue about it all day, but suffice it to say, they done good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same has been done for One Piece Season 2.
Well, like, they've streamlined a lot of the bigger parts, but they've also kept a lot of the vital scenes in that mean a lot to the fans.
Yeah.
Like the sword toss with Zoro.
Yes! Yeah, that was really well done.
Absolutely. And the fact that they've got Toshigi looking like such an, actually.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
They really did nail a lot of the character designs. Like, whoever is on costuming, well done.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is the thing as well. Like, every single actor in this feels like their role. The fact that they have purposely chosen lesser known actors so you're not going, oh, that's Johnny Depp playing a character, or that's this person playing a character.
Yeah, I heard a horrifying rumor that Adam Sandler would play...
Kizaru?
Yes.
Yeah, nah. Well, firstly,
they're
not going to pay that much. They did the same thing for what's-her-name, the Doctor...
Jamie
Lee Curtis wanted to be cast as it. Everyone's like the fans are like, oh, she'd look great as it, and everyone else was just kind of like, no, because she's a horrible person.
And wasn't the last thing she was on the Borderlands movie?
Yeah,
no more for her.
Here's the thing: the person who's playing her is the voice of Lena from Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Lilo. Yeah,
yeah. She looks so good.
She does look.
She nailed.
She was
the character.
From Married with Kids.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's been in a lot. Like, this is the thing. Not a lot of people realize that outside of Futurama, she has been a normal screen actor as well.
Oh, and just to, like, return to sort of that era of the show, they did okay with Tony Chopper.
Yeah.
It could have been worse.
No. I think they did really well with... Because the animation's been updated, clearly, since we saw the initial. Because they went, it's not refined enough. People are upset. Let's sort it. And I'm glad they did.
Well, that also wasn't the first design. Like, the first design they wanted to do was really realistic, but Oda stepped in and said, can we make him look more like a plushie, more like a toy animal, rather than this realistic deer that you get
from. I've been seeing the sketch going around where it's got a proper deer head, and it's just like, oh no!
I want that version of the series. I want the realistic Tony chopper cut.
I don't think...
Release the reindeer.
I think probably out of all of his forms, the humanoid form one looks the weirdest. It kind of looks like it should be in Cats the Musical.
There's... the muscle form?
It's the mouth.
There's something about it. Like, he looks like an actor I know, but when I looked up the actor, it wasn't somebody I knew. But I was like, I'm getting major deja vu with this face. Who is it?
It is reminding me of Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Bambi.
No, it's not that. It's something else. But I was looking at it, and I was just like, I know this face.
The lady who voices Chopper is brilliant. Mm-hmm. She's really lovely in real life, and her and Sanji's actor are like really good buds already, which is good because like they need to have chemistry.
See, that is actually the genuinely like heartwarming thing about this whole project. The people involved that look like they're having a great time, they care about it, they love the source material, and they are like really involved with the fans.
Like, I've got to be honest, like Luffy as a character can be incredibly cringe sometimes, but he's managed to do a great job of keeping that balance.
Inaki, good boy.
Especially when we had the paints. He showed his acting
emotion.
Chops.
He's my goodness.
Great. He's also him and the actor for
Usopp?
Ace. So the actor for Ace is from another Netflix show. Also South American.
Yeah, he was on Cobra Kai.
He came... The Cobra Kai team came to the One Set Season 1 set, to the One Piece Season 1 set, to meet the cast, because obviously it was a fellow Netflix production. And they hit it off immediately, and they have been best buds ever since. And then he got cast. And they're just like, the chemistry here is fantastic, and he looks the part. You could not ask for a better option.
He also looks like he could be the son of the actor for Gold D. Roger.
Right? Yeah.
It just... It's just
well,
like
Dragon. Oh, no, it's Gold D. Roger, but yeah. Dragon was well done.
There is a whisper, though. The actor made a post that he had to delete very quickly.
Oh, no.
Where he said he loved portraying everything to do with Dragon. He learned everything to do about him. And he put in extra effort to make sure that his presence and everything was honored, including his devil fruit power.
I mean, it was shown. It's just we didn't know what it
Dragon
was.
Dragon doesn't have a devil fruit power that we know of yet.
Yes.
We don't know what it is yet. We haven't seen any signs of a power.
Did he reveal something that he shouldn't?
Yeah, he revealed the dragon has a devil fruit.
Vivi accidentally did something as well, and she's like, wait, what? No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, she's like, oh, no, I think I imagined that.
Yeah, that was the One Piece live. Not the One Piece, the My Hero Academia live action. Okay, so maybe it is.
It would just be, it'd be interesting to know, because Oda himself is putting like a lot of himself into this. He is very involved with this show. So it'd be interesting to know if he's revealed a few secrets to the cast of this show.
He has, in the production committee, advised them on abilities for casts and certain characters that haven't been revealed yet.
Whoa.
So, and it's because they need to know that so that they can ensure what they do in their current actions doesn't, in the future, go against what those characters are meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. On that note, Brooks casting, fantastic.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I'm so intrigued to know what they'll do for him once he's more skelly bones.
All of Baroque works, phenomenal. Absolutely. Every actor they have cast for that's amazing.
Even the ones that they had to make up for characters.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because there was
Miss Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Seven?
Yeah. Like they were mentioned in I think it's Ace's novel or one of the other novels. It's not in the manga. So
Or in
the anime, there you go.
Yeah, so, I think there was like there's a panel later on. I haven't got to that in the manga yet, but it like shows sort of like a list of the Baroque Works people, and like there's a few of them are just like the silhouettes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, are we getting them later?
No. Absolutely not.
But yeah, look, it was they've done it really well. But I also have to give complete shout outs to Vivi's actress.
Oh, yeah.
She is phenomenal. She is gorgeous. She does the part perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize this when we were initially watching it. She's in Bridgerton.
Oh.
Wait, really?
She's one of the main love interests in season 3 or 4 who's a slave.
All right.
And the other thing that me and Emma were discussing in particular is that they've let them keep their accents, which is so important about the world being diverse.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen so many people online whinging that Vivi was black. And it's like, do you know nothing about manga and the way it works for releases?
I got into this argument with the thing. It's just like, okay, so you're telling me Vivi, she's the princess of Alabasta, which is the desert kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a desert kingdom with...
And then you've got all these people going, yeah, but there's white people in the Middle East. It's like, yeah. There's also a lot of tan people. And it's not just the Middle East.
I don't want to get into that.
The just... white people aren't royals in the Middle East. They're not the ones who have been there the entire time.
Exactly. So, yeah.
It's
look,
just like, yeah, if there are... Look, I have no notes for Vivi.
I'm just going to be quite blunt. If you have a problem with Vivi being black, then you're racist. That's all it comes down to, guys. I'm sorry, but that is what it is. The location is based on the Middle East and Indian architecture.
Yeah.
So the fact that she's Indian doesn't matter.
She's Indian princess in an Indian setup location? Okay.
Yeah. Further to that... You saying, oh, she's white in the manga, clearly haven't paid attention to how manga is produced. Because black characters very rarely appear as continuing characters in manga for multiple reasons. First one, printing. The printing on the pages, and you can see on the mangas I've got there, if you want to grab one of them from under there, they're so thin.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievably thin, cheap paper. It does not hold it very well. Look at that. It's washed out. It is colored. It is not. There's literally one piece in here. And you can see from it that it is not. And I'll have to.
I think you lost it.
Yeah, I think I've lost it.
We lost it a long time ago.
Yeah. I got this from Japan. But yeah.
And it's still taped.
Yeah, I'm going to open them up in a video.
It's just
the pages are so incredibly thin that it does not hold dark ink for a long period. So
it's just my thing with it is like I have a certain massive hatred of a Amazon series, Rings of Power.
Oh yeah.
Yes, in that they have multicultural diverse elves. I have absolutely no problem with multiculturalism or diversity when it makes sense.
Yeah,
the elves were not sort of spread out across the world regions.
This
like
is
that.
The thing. There was like three sort of subsects of elf,
mm-hmm.
and they were all based on European countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why people don't like.
And so
that.
It's like when they include the African American elf, you're just like, where is he from? Which family line? That doesn't make sense. But now that we've got Vivi, Indian princess, Indian place. Yes.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But I mean, this is the thing as well. Like, if their heritage is not an important part of their character, it doesn't matter who you cast.
Mm-hmm.
If their heritage is an important part of their character, it does matter who you cast. You don't go cast a white person for a character who's meant to be from Asia.
It's just.
Or a black character.
It's just a matter of being consistent for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. I mean, this is the thing.
Make it make sense.
There needs to be the right balance where you are honoring the story. And doing it for the right reasons because they're a great actor and it won't impact the character if you're adapting something. If you're not adapting it, which, you know, in this particular case with Rings of Power, you're not adapting any technical works for it. You weren't allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got the information on the world. You've got the information on where all these groups came from and, you know, their heritage and how that works.
It's just my personal hobby horse with Rings of Power. It's just like...
I mean, look, Rings of Power was weird.
It was weak by every level. It's just like if you wanted to set up something with a diverse location, set the entire thing in Harad.
Yeah.
Go to the south. We have, like in books, in fiction, in movies, we have never seen anything like that. My God, you have creative license to just make this incredible location and make it as diverse as can be because it would make sense.
It's a melting pot, that location.
Tell me about... dwarves that build pyramids in the deep desert.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, right?
Sorry, I have such hatred for Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power.
Yeah, but look, the point here is that, like, people are getting up in arms over Vivi's character when she's a phenomenal actress to begin with.
To be fair, it's only a few people that are. The people who have, like, enjoyed this series, it's received a lot of acclaim this season. Mm-hmm. And, again... Oda is very, very personally involved with it.
Yeah.
If he didn't want it that way, it would not be that way.
But this is the thing as well. Like, if you've got an actor who, regardless of their skin color, you think is perfect for a role, you can put them in and you can then tweak their background story.
And she, like you said, she's from Bridgerton. She's got the acting chops.
She does. She does. What's the her assistant, the...
Oh, the dude with the...
The drawstrings and the guns?
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Oh, he's incredible.
I am fantastic. So annoyed that they had to get rid of him. It was just like... Oh, but I want more of you. He nailed that character. And that character is weird.
I mean, the booger guy from Baroque Works as well. That so was good. So well done.
So well done.
And then, like, Polka Dot Man playing Mr. Three.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You could just tell he was having fun.
He was. Yeah.
In interviews, he's like, I've watched the Japanese, I've watched the English, I've tried to work in their verbal, like, mannerisms while working my own sort of thing into it. And, like... The little details that you don't get anywhere else. Like, he's got waxy fingertips in the live action. That's nowhere in the anime or in the manga.
Yeah, but it makes sense.
It makes
sense. And, like, his little demesne, his house.
Yeah.
In the manga, it is just a cube of wax. In the live action, they have turned it into sort of, like...
A proper little
house. Artistically resigned
house. It's all about his art wax, so it makes sense.
Art wax.
Woo! I don't know why my brain went there. Anyway, look, we can talk about how amazing One Piece live action is, and Kenny's obviously watching the series and enjoying it so far.
And here's the thing, it's like One Piece, the actual animation.
OG anime,
It has notoriety of having an intense and lunatic fan base. You're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I get it now.
You get it now.
I get why you people love this so much. I get why you people are just crazy little...
Just
monsters.
Wait. Just wait.
Oh, yeah. It gets better.
Oh, yeah. No,
I meant like the... Wait till you get to the slogs.
But we all watch Naruto, so we're used to that.
Naruto's...
But it's just like...
Yeah. I know, but we're prepared. We've had the experience already. It's not like we're going...
You get a general feel for the fan base from the work that they consume. And I don't know, Attack on Titan... Full Metal Alchemist. You get a general idea leveling. Of yes. Then.
Yeah, you know the type of people based on the who will enjoy it based on
learn about a culture's art and you'll understand.
But this is the thing as well, like the irony of people who are complaining about who's cast depending on their race for One Piece, and it's like, did you learn nothing from this series? You're not a One Piece viewer. You're a casual. You're a filthy casual who actually didn't watch it and are complaining because you're racist.
You're a celestial dragon.
Yeah. Like, it's straight up, like...
I wouldn't say that they didn't watch it. It's just that...
You're right. They're dumb. Because there are people who watched The Boys and thought Homelander was the hero.
It's like, the show itself is about exploring the world. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get white people everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you are because we're a plague, but...
Because the British...
On that note, not being a plague, but on white people, Nico Robbins' character... Her actress has done such a good job on being evil because it mirrors the manga as it should.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's fun.
She's so good. Also, like, her keeping her accent for it, which is like Eastern European, sort of Russian-y.
Nails it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It really fits the character. So, well done.
Did you see that the actor for Smoker actually learned how to hold and smoke two cigars in his mouth specifically for
actually,
the role?
Him as well. Holy cow, is he good.
Yeah, he was handpicked by Oda.
He thought he didn't know which character he was being played for. So he was told it was Leonard, and he's like, Leonard. So he searched for Leonard, and he found the guys from the Dressrosa arc, and he's like, okay then.
and then they're like, you're Smoker, and he's like, oh.
That's so much better.
That's just the thing. It's like, everyone on this seems to be giving 110%.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the... Yeah, I love it because of it.
So the fact, like, I think we're talking about this later, the fact that the team behind this...
Could be doing...
Samurai Champloo.
It could be good. And this is the thing.
I don't want to get my hopes up.
But... We'll talk more about this, but there's been a big shift at the people who are in charge of Tomorrow Studio since they did Cowboy Bebop. And I'll explain how that all happened because it was due to COVID. So we'll come back to that in a little bit, but... It sounds like the people there now are good, which is why their latest productions, which has been only One Piece as far as anime adaptation goes, have hit. So we'll get back to that in a minute.
Like, there's the whole thing about how video game movies and anime movies are becoming the new corporate vogue, the new mainstream. And it's the thing, just respect the work, respect the fans. That's all you need to do.
If you are coming in to do an adaptation and want to shoehorn your own story into it, you've missed the point. Like, an adaptation should expand on the original material, but still honor it. You cannot change the lore when you're adapting something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will upset the people you need to get on side.
I've got so much to say about that with Cavill's 40K, but yes.
Anyway.
Can we also quickly say how well the giants were done?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Brogy and
Floki
were... they were magnificent.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah.
Like a fair bit of that was to do with Usopp's character story and character growth. It's like, which takes so much longer in the anime and manga.
On that note, if you have not been watching the live action because you're worried about how insufferable Usopp is early in the series, he's amazing in this. He basically...
Like we said, it's accelerated.
And because of that, they've taken the character that is Usopp just before the time skip, and that's who he's acting as now. Mm-hmm. He's not insufferable. And when he does want to run away, it's a comedic moment, not a, God, why are you doing this again?
Yeah.
It works really well. Also, the actor's just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Jacob's
like,
incredible.
Jacob's incredible. Like, yeah. Anyway, we've gushed about this in like 20
tangents
minutes.
Tangents for days.
Right.
Well, that's live action. Watch it.
Yeah. That being said, if you've got something we should be watching, you think we've missed from this season, let us know. Drop it in the comments over on YouTube, and we'll have a look at it. But now it's time to talk about sand, because, you know, it gets everywhere. Wi-Fi Radio.
I really need to go back and watch that.
A relic from the ancient times.
Huh? It only came out last season.
Yes, yeah, so very long ago.
Back catalogue.
What the hell?
Aaron struggles with hearing Tifa in his ears.
Oh no, I'm ingesting all the sand.
Oh, okay.
Voicing her up and irritating.
Alrighty.
Gets everywhere.
So anyway, moving along from that, we have been watching Sandland, created by Akira Toriyama. It was a manga that he wrote of 14 chapters back in 2000. It kind of flew under the radar.
I gave it a couple of episodes when it first came out, and I was just like, okay, I think I get it.
Mm.
Now I've gone and watched like 12 of the 14 episodes, and I was like, oh.
I didn't get it at all.
God, I really wish I had stayed with
it. So we are 13 episodes. 14th is the film on there, which I don't know why they label it like that, because it's just the first 6 episodes as a film. Anyway. But yeah, so 13 episodes. It did have the first arc as a film. It has a game. And
which I played the demo for before the game came out on Steam. And it sort of starts you in the middle of things, and I'm using that as my excuse for why I didn't stick with this. Because I apologize to everyone that's a fan of this show. It is so good.
It is incredible.
I apologize for not watching it soon enough.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat. Because like, I tried touching the game initially when I got it for free, because I was like, Akira Toriyama's great. I did it last year while I was staying here.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
and I kind of just put it down because I was like, it's not really getting me. But then like going back and playing it now, I'm like...
It makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
50% off on Steam at the moment.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. So
Only until Friday, so...
Is it only till Friday?
Yeah, because that's when the Steam sale ends.
Carl, it only just started, didn't it?
27th of March is the end.
Carl, we need you to put this episode out tonight.
Look, I'll put it out on Wednesday as usual, but it will be... We'll put notes out and links in the episode, so you can quickly go and grab it. The series came out from March to May 2024. It was done as an ONA, original net animation, mm-hmm. so it wasn't following the standard release schedule that we get for animes. There were 3 studios in charge of this adaptation.
Wow.
Sunrise was the lead by the looks of it. The second studio was Studio Anima, who you might not know because they haven't done a lot. They did do one of the Dot Hack movies, and they did one of the Star Wars Visions Volume 3 episodes. And everything after that kind of seems a little bit... Altered Carbon Resleeved, that anime one.
Yeah.
So they've done lots of little bits and pieces, but they're not a huge studio. They're a support studio, typically. The other studio alongside them is called Kamikaze Douga. They were established in 2003 and are predominantly a support studio. You will see them doing lots of things like animation projects for idol groups and stuff like that. However, they were in charge of 3 TV studios, Pop Team Epic second season, and the first season, and Gal 2 Dinosaur, so the girl who lives with the dinosaur, which was really...
Yeah, they're just sort of random humor stuff.
Yeah. However, outside of that, they also did stuff for Star Wars Visions as a studio. They did Tales of Crestoria, Tales of Luminaria, and I think movies. They were involved in the Sandland movie, Batman Ninja, Kokolas as one of the support studios, which we talked about a while ago.
That was a weird one.
Yeah, and then, a couple of the other ones we haven't watched and that aren't very highly rated anyway. But yeah, and Sunrise, like, it's Sunrise. It's Sunrise. So Gundam, Code Geass, Planetes, Gintama, Everyday Lives of High School Boys, which apparently has Everyday Lives of High School Girls coming as well as an anime, which is really, really goofy.
So they transitioned?
No. It's just the girls complaining about the boys. City Hunter. Like, you know, they are, it's a classic big studio.
They have a classic pedigree, yeah.
But yeah. Sandland came out, and I guess the easiest way is to kind of just explain what this is. So in the distant future, the year 2000, war has destroyed the entire Earth, leaving only a barren wasteland where the supply of water is controlled by the greedy king. In search of a long-lost lake, Sheriff Rao asked the king of the demons for help and got the king's son, Beelzebub, and his assistant, Theeth. Together, the unlikely trio set off across the desert, facing dragons, bandits, and the deadliest foe of all, the king's army itself. I have to say, I did not rate the name for Theeth, because I kept getting confused.
You thought it was like a class name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is his name. And that is his makes name. Sense.
It's so stupid.
I adore his special ability.
Yeah.
Dressing up like Santa Claus to get information from towns.
Yeah. Because people think he's Santa because he's short and stumpy and doesn't look like a demon as much as the others.
Yeah, he just sort of shadow clone jutsus a Santa Claus costume onto himself and then runs into a town and he comes back and he's saying, I have learned a lot and got these supplies. What the hell?
Also, the hat ruined my hair, though. Hairspray.
It's just, can we get a side manga of what he does when he is Santa Claus in town?
I mean, I would love that. So, the main story focuses on Beelzebub. He is the little pink monster man that you see in the all the artwork for it.
He's Demon Vegeta.
Yeah.
He's basically Trunks.
Yeah.
He's like young Prince Vegeta.
Yeah.
It's the voice, it's the mannerisms, it's just him being Vegeta as well.
On that note, the dub is good.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I was very pleasantly surprised by that. I was comparing the dub to the subtitles. It does miss a few marks, but it's not like what we see with a lot of, like, localizers where they change everything. Mm. No, they've stuck to the original thing, they've just focused on the mouth flap movements to match it. So that's good. I also would like to note that this is typical Akira Toriyama.
Everything about it is Toriyama.
Especially when it comes to the names. Because when you have a look at the Leaf Kingdom, General Bread, King Jam, Anne, who is Princess Anne, Pan Bread.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yep.
It follows every bloody convention that he is famous for. Like, visually, the way the technology is set up, just... it feels like a lived-in world.
Does that mean you missed the desert, the Sandland names? What's Rao's real name?
Sheba.
And then general was Zeus. Mm.
Zeus. It's a dog?
Shiva, Zeus, gods.
Oh, right, yeah. And then Are and Aura. Ah, I did miss that. That's pretty good. And then there's Dr. Pose. But yeah, it's really well done.
All of the characters are familiar to his other works.
Well, Are was in Dragon Ball Super Hero.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the bodyguard for the...
Yeah. It was so good.
It's like, not just like callbacks and stuff like that. It's that, how do I put it? They almost seem like reincarnations of a bunch of the Dragon Ball cards.
Have you ever played any of the Dragon Quest games?
No, not yet.
You need to look at them.
Same way as I understand.
I was wondering who was voicing Arn, who is invited to the second half, and she has a voice that's very familiar, and the profile picture for her... Oh, she's the same age as me. Her profile picture is her dressed up as one of the Nier characters, which is kind of cool.
Oh, to be?
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's have a look at... she's Jolene from JoJo.
Oh, yep.
She is... Mitsuri from Demon Slayer.
Oh, yeah.
Beatrice.
So love Hashira.
Yeah, from ReZero. And there's a voice. Oh, she is Yura 2B.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow,
okay. So there you go. Yeah, I'm looking at her. She's Azazel in Arumakun. Yeah, like, I've heard her voice before, but it's not from any of these characters. So I'm sitting there going, why do I know your voice? Yeah, she's Rebecca from Eden Zero, which means she's probably in Fairy Tail as well.
Yeah. When you said Rebecca, I got so hopeful.
Rebecca!
No, that's a different person.
And we love her very much.
We do. Yeah, the voice cast all sound familiar and they're all well done. Hmm. So I can highly recommend if you want to watch the dub, it's good. Risa May is the English dub for Beelzebub, and she's been in a lot. Like, holy cow. She was in Summertime Rendering. She was in Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai. She's Inui, the short angry girl in Dress Up Darling. She's the short girl in My Senpai is Annoying. I'm picking up a theme here. She's the short girl in... It's Tifa.
But yeah,
she is here for this episode.
In spirit.
We just didn't see her down there.
But it's that the characters sort of feel familiar. If you were a big fan of Toriyama's works, this is almost like a celebration of everything he'd ever done.
Mm. Yeah.
It almost like there was hints that this is set in a distant future to Dragon Ball, their world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more focused on the human characters, the mundane people. And it's like, that's the fascinating thing as well. Like, two of the major main characters are old fogies.
Yeah, I love that about it.
Yeah.
Like, Shiva is this, like, 60-year-old grizzled war veteran who is a bloody action man as well.
He's amazing.
He does look like Action Man.
Yeah, the like, greatest hero of them all.
Oh, like, yeah, an old action man with, like, the full moustache.
Yeah.
And Thief is Santa Claus, but also the occasional tank pilot.
But Thief is only just a little bit older than Beelzebub.
Yeah.
And this is the thing as well. Like, I feel like it's a bit weird that Beelzebub, at his age, is still being told about homework and stuff like that. It just kind of takes it a little bit away from me.
If he's
1,200, 1,300 years old.
I can almost see what the complaints and like in-universe reasoning for that is like, oh, because Beelzebub is from a powerful echelon of demon, he ages slower and stuff like that.
Yeah,
probably something like that.
Well, I mean, we know that, but like...
Yeah.
Because then why is Thief allowed to be a senior, more trusted person, if that makes sense?
I don't think he is, because Beelzebub bullies him so much.
Well, I think he bullies him because he's the prince.
That's because he's a spoiled little princeling.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that we need to kind of address on this. Unlike Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball GT, all of this story was written by Akira Toriyama, including the second arc as well. So the first seven episodes are... the first six episodes are comprised of the film, and then the next seven episodes, which are about the angel hero, which unfortunately says the final seven episodes, I suspect it is the end, was written by Toriyama for animation. So that's why it's there.
Which is why it kind of feels so disjointed when it jumps from part one to part two.
I didn't feel too disjointed. I thought it was just a time skip.
I honestly did. I think the game might have helped me feel that way as well. Because after they deal with Seiyu, they kind of just go around to like all the places that they've been and like say their goodbyes and check in everywhere.
Oh, in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Watching it without the game, it did feel like it had just been like, yep, everything's calmed down. 3 months have passed. Hey, I've got a new mission I'm going on. Do you want to join?
Yeah, the pacing for this anime is actually very good.
Yeah, it really was. Especially considering they started out as a movie and then they adapted it. Mm. So I really enjoyed it. The opening water carrier is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I want more. And I know we're probably not going to get any more because Akira Toriyama passed on. However,
there is a game that fleshes out the world significantly.
Yeah,
so
the Sandland
game. If you
would
like more, please play the game.
Yeah,
I'm getting it. I've already spent like nearly 100 on like games from the Steam sale, but what's one more?
Do it for Akira, Toriyama sensei.
Do it for his family.
For the old master. Got it.
Yeah.
Do it for Goku.
Could Beezle beat Goku?
No. God, no.
So it's also worth noting that if you want to watch this, it is on Disney Plus. unfortunately. So that means it is going to be Hulu in some areas and Disney Plus in others. This is predominantly just for the standard English-speaking areas. There is dubs in French and German and a few other dubs that have been released as well. So it is in areas outside of Disney Plus's main broadcast areas. Other people will have picked it up. However, unfortunately, it does mean that at the moment, that's kind of going to be your main avenue to watch it. What was it we normally go to for the season reviews? Live chart. I'm going to see if they've now got the Southeast Asian list, because at the time when it was released, we only had Disney Plus listed as the streaming people. And it is still Disney Plus and Hotstar. Okay, never mind.
That was probably another reason why I didn't stick with it for too long, because using Disney's service makes me feel dirty.
I know, right?
Disney.
But look, gross. This premiered, well, it didn't premiere at it, but it was shown just before release at Scotland Loves Anime in 2024. And
Scotland does love anime.
Well, this is the thing. I lived in the UK for a year, and I was in the Midlands area. I was in York, and there was not much anime or anything to watch. You had to go to London for any of the major releases. Sometimes the cinema there might get one
and
or two
like
showings.
Conventions and stuff like that. It's
there's not a lot of multiculturalism outside of the, as far as like broad multiculturalism, which we see here, as opposed to just one or two.
There is
groups.
There is a bit of anime fandom there. It's just it's not so mainstream.
Yeah. But this thing, it's mostly based in London, and that just ends up being the way it is. However, Scotland, especially Edinburgh, where they host Scotland Loves Anime, is, again, more towards that. They do... this was at the Glasgow Film Theatre show for this one. But, yeah, Scotland Loves Anime has actually increased anime viewership in Scotland quite broadly, and it's done well. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you're in
because
the
that's
north...
Because the Scots are a very cultured people.
Yeah.
And more they so love anime.
Than the British.
Well, I was going to say, so if you are in the north of the UK, especially if you're in my old stomping grounds of York or Newcastle or Manchester or Liverpool, next time they have Scotland Loves Anime, go up for it. It is worth it. It's an amazing experience from everything I've seen. I've got a couple of friends over there who did go up for it, and they said it was phenomenal. So, yeah, definitely worth checking out. But, yeah, either way, that's where it showed it. Disney being Disney completely failed to publicize the Sandland anime, despite it being the final work associated with Toriyama. And because of that, not enough people have seen it. So
it's Disney. They're corporate. They're mainstream.
Yeah, so I'd highly recommend watching this if you love anything that Akira Toriyama has done. Whether you're, into Dr. Slump and don't like Dragon Ball, or if you're into Dragon Ball or any of his
Dragon Quest,
which I really need to start on properly.
Well, yeah. A lot of the demons are reminiscent of the monsters from that.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So it feels like it might not be Dragon Ball's future, but Dragon Quest's future.
Oh, that would make sense. I do like how King Satan's introduced into it, and Medium, who have written a really good article on this, talk basically just shouting out at Disney going, "You're rubbish, why didn't you promote this? It's amazing." They say, "King Satan, Beelzebub's dad's. Any similarities to the biblical Satan are likely to be inaccurate, as he seems like a pretty decent dude, really. A strict father, but a wise ruler, and unconcerned with the damnation of human souls for all eternity."
Oh, man, I love it when the angel tries to pick a fight with him and is like, "Boop. No.
I'm busy. I'm watching stuff."
That was a 70-inch plasma screen TV.
Yeah. And it looks tiny because he's huge.
Yeah, but also he's like reading tiny books as well. And it's like, oh, yes, I could read that from here.
Yeah. Also, not only that, Toriyama is known for creating short characters in manga. Look at Dr. Slump and Pre-Time Skip Goku.
And Krillin.
And Krillin, yeah. Like, he's really...
I did wonder about like how... Because he was an old gentleman when Sandland was made.
Mm-hmm.
If like the two main old dude characters were sort of, I don't know, not a self insert, but a celebration of like an older gentleman character.
Mm-hmm. You might be old, but you ain't past your prime.
Exactly.
Also, as they point out in this, because it's relatively lighthearted and action heavy, it can come off as junk food entertainment in a good way. Like, it's easy to watch, but once it's finished, it's finished. You've covered everything. So
I could definitely sit down and watch this with a bowl of popcorn.
Oh, easy, yeah.
I mean, it sets up the world quite handily. It tells you everything you got to know.
Without going overboard as well. So it turns out that Studio Kamikaze Douga animated the majority in the cel-shaded CG that Toriyama's, that suits his style. I was worried that the cel CG would look a little bit weird.
Hybrid CGI, yeah.
It doesn't. They've nailed it, which gives me a lot of hope for what will happen for the new Dragon Balls.
Well, it's what they did with Dragon Ball Super Superhero.
Yeah. Because that they really nailed it on that. But yeah. In Dragon Ball Super, Broly, it was a bit janky in parts. So look, it's really good. When characters aren't important enough to have their own 3D model, they're instead animated in 2D, which is reasonably well integrated. And it is noticeable in some parts, but otherwise, for the most part, it's pretty good. Mm. But it's really good. Like, it's not, it doesn't take you out of the moment. Which is what my concern was. And because of it, movements are a lot smoother than we see in some anime.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
It also makes the transition from like game to anime a lot easier because you're using similar models.
I will agree with the purists that there is something to be said for the classical hand-drawn animation. I didn't find this offensive, the way the CG was handled with this. It felt natural enough.
Yeah. In the second arc, and they've got this written as like, you know, just, you know, bit of spoilers, so we won't mention, you know, the backgrounds of some of the people involved. However, you get to meet in episode here, episode 7, the hero, self-titled hero Muniel, an angel who is a sanctimonious little beep and one of the most punchable anime characters of all time. And very they're true. Not wrong.
Is this from the Cultured Connoisseur?
No. This is still the article by Medium. I highly recommend having a read of this. It's really good.
Yeah,
some of his actions border genocidal, and when he gets hands on a potential world-conquering murder machine, we're back to the old nuclear war is bad, okay? So, yeah. Look, he's really frustrating, but
they have created a villain who you absolutely adore to hate.
Like, the guy who did the voice acting for it did it perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, well done.
Character design, voice acting, everything about that little... Oh, yes. Yeah. So not allowed to say that word.
Really want to punch him.
Yeah. It's square in his smug little face.
Yeah.
Every fight you see him in and him getting just a punch in the face from a demon king, you're just like, I feel good.
Yeah. But yeah, look, it's not. He's an awful character and he gets his just desserts.
He's a proper villain.
He's a proper villain.
Like, you guys saw, like, this is a tangent. You guys saw Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, right?
No.
Yes.
It is fantastic.
It is and incredible.
It's got not one, not two, but like three like different villains in the main story.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? Jack Horner.
Mm-hmm.
Played by, what's his name? John Mulaney.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He's such a hateable so-and-so. And you just love a villain that you're allowed to hate. He's not morally grey. He doesn't have a backstory to humanize him.
His backstory, like, Muriel's backstory dehumanizes him even more because you're like, oh, you were an ass even beforehand.
He's just a jerk. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes you watch the tier 5 villain who's very, very complicated and, like, you want to understand him. But sometimes you just want to see someone punch an evil clown.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Mm-hmm. I guess I wouldn't say he's like a tier 1 because he has motive. And his motive is
the
arrogance.
Tier list is...
he wants to prove that he's worthy of being a god by getting rid of all evil.
Yeah. Without realizing that he himself is evil.
Yeah.
Because that, yeah.
Well, no, they never realize that.
No.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about the sort of villain tier list, which has been floating around the internet for like... decades,
yeah,
is that there is absolutely nothing wrong with including the low tier villains. It's like the complicated villains are great, but again, there is therapy in punching an evil clown.
There is,
just you know,
on the note of clowns, I want more Buggy in One Piece live action. I need that.
Come on,
he's so good. I hated him in the manga and the comics. He's so good. The actor has nailed it. Anyway,
yeah, he's fine.
Complete tangent. Anyway.
I like that he could swear in his show.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be right back. If you want to watch Sandland, as we mentioned, Disney Plus worldwide at the moment, it seems. Otherwise, find whatever your local source is for it if it's not on Disney Plus. Highly recommend it. It's 13 episodes. It's very easy to watch.
It's great.
You don't have to spend a lot of mental energy on it, which is good. Because
it's an Akira Toriyama show.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not designed for mental energy.
It's not dumb. It's not smart. It's just fun.
Yeah. And with Dragon Ball coming back next year and this year with some stuff, it's a good time to get back into it. All right. We'll be back in a moment with some of the latest things going on in the world of anime.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story, compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
Alrighty, well, let's start off with a controversy.
Oh no.
Take a guess.
Afro Man.
That's the pre-show. Talking Crunchyroll.
What a surprise! Crunchyroll has laid off employees amidst its restructuring, affected workers in HR and e-commerce. They have closed down stuff to do with their sales and stores.
Were they not AI enough?
Yeah, probably not. This is just typical Sony. When they buy something, they kind of strip it out over time. So it's due to a shift in its e-commerce strategy and not due to cost-cutting measures. I disagree. This is going to be a number of employees after restructure, redistribution of roles based on location. Now, we do know some of this is to do with them trying to reduce the amount of areas where they have physical footprints to increase profits, which, as we said, is a cost-cutting measure.
And you just know those profits are going to the executives' bonuses, not to the actual bloody
exactly.
company.
Mm-hmm. So the latest figure was roughly the layoffs are an eighth to a seventh of the size of the previous cutoff in August.
How many cutoffs have they had in the last
4 in 2 years? So a former senior production designer at Crunchyroll stated on LinkedIn on March 9 that she was part of what she called mass layoffs at Crunchyroll. Other former Crunchyroll employees posted on LinkedIn about being laid off this week were from the HR or e-commerce departments. Surprising to have HR being laid off.
Yeah,
because
that is actually...
they normally see it coming.
Normally they are not very laid off. Normally they are the people laying off others.
Yeah.
Karma!
So ANN could not collaborate the size of the layoffs that have been reported by Screen Rant or the former production product designer. The information we've got is only based on what has been shared by people sharing on their social media and LinkedIn.
I think I'm also torn on this as well, is that, you know, layoffs to people who don't deserve it are one thing. But I still remember that Crunchyroll are responsible for X-Arm and High Guardian Spice. And
look, I'm going to be honest. Like, the layoffs need to be at the executive level. That's where the problem is. Yeah. That's where the fat needs to be cut. And everyone knows this. The CEOs know it as well. But they don't care. They want their money.
I still just want to, you know, High Guardian Spice was also the artists and people writing that thing involved as well. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that comes from the executive level because they chose the people to do it.
I suppose.
They are the ones who went, oh, these people will create this product and we will get them.
Okay, have someone with a goddamn soul involved in that.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Crunchyroll is going to hollow itself entirely until it crumbles and then we're going to get a new Circuit City grift?
What do you mean?
So during the last recession, there was a company called Circuit City and it ended up going totally under.
Yep.
And so, because it went totally under, there was nobody to fact check if people actually worked for that company.
Oh.
So, you could list on your resume that you were a manager, you were a dispatch person. You could list yourself at any role for Circuit City and then get your friend to vouch for you, saying that you did do that role and that they were your supervisor.
Oh, my God.
And then I heard about this, actually.
There was no way to contact anyone involved.
Yes.
Wow. That's bad.
So, do you reckon with Crunchyroll going down like this, there's a potential for it to become the new...
I don't think it'll be that.
I wonder.
What seems to be happening is they're consolidating stuff into singular locations. So they have a listing currently for sale of their office and warehouse in Iowa, which also has Right Stuff Anime as a tenant.
Iowa.
But currently has Crunchyroll as a tenant as well. The listing states Crunchyroll has a lease through to 2030, and they purchased Right Stuff in 2022. So we're not sure if that means Right Stuff is being shuttered completely and rolled into Crunchyroll.
Mm. Sounds like they didn't buy the Right Stuff.
No. And then in January, after Crunchyroll started delisting a significant portion of Discotech's back catalogue, including titles that were not out of print, video post-production company Media OCD announced it will begin carrying distributor Discotech's back catalogue through its newly launched Discotech Deep Dives project. We need to have a look into that. So there's a lot going on here that is showing Crunchyroll becoming smaller as far as the amount of offerings it provides while increasing its price and laying off staff. This all suggests profiteering, which is exactly what we said it was going to happen years ago when this started. Mm-hmm. It's not looking good.
Well, all the money that they're getting from the increased subscriptions and stuff like that is to go to support them in the lawsuits that they're getting into for selling all of their user data.
Yeah, there's that too.
God, is there just anything that they can't fail at?
Well, you're not wrong. Like, where they've used all of Crunchyroll's subtitles at the moment are AI generated.
From Israel,
I believe. An Israeli company, yeah. So that's really bad. I don't know how this is going to end because the subtitles...
I miss it when they were a piracy company.
I know, right? Like the irony that they're now going after people for piracy as well. It's like, guys, that's how you came about.
Yeah.
It's just like, you're not like... Piracy is often not a result of cash.
It's not a result of greed or anything.
It's not often a result because people can't afford something. It's the lack of availability or the barriers put in the way to viewing it in the form it should be. Mm. So, and this is the thing. If you stop people pirating things, they're not going to then go and buy your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to make a difference. So, yeah.
They'll just pirate it another way.
Also, like, if you want to actually support the anime and series you like, you should be buying the merch and the physical DVD releases and stuff like that.
Physical media is coming back, people. Buy up.
Because money for that actually goes to the creators. When you're paying your Crunchyroll subscription, they don't get any additional money for you watching something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the most important thing to remember. Buying the actual licensed products is more valuable to support a series you like than watching it. So yeah.
Go to a shop like Shumi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're in Australia, Shumi Shop Ship Australia wide. They're fantastic. Good friends of the show.
I've been considering buying a model kit from them.
Which one?
The Rock.
Yes. What about the trash?
As in a rock?
It is a...
not as like in the actor.
A Gundam-style blister pack of pieces of a stone.
That's so funny.
They've also got one of like a scrunched up piece of paper called trash.
And they've got got an onigiri one where each individual piece of rice has to be glued to one another.
Yeah, sashimi as well.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. Yeah, that's horrifying.
I'm halfway tempted because, my God, that is just trolling on another level.
It truly is. All right, so look, we'll move on from Crunchyroll again being, unsurprisingly, the worst media company in the anime space.
Thank you, Sony.
Visual Novel Database has had some really sad news.
Yes. So the creator and founder of Visual Novel Database, Yor-Hell, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has unfortunately passed away. They're currently working through how they're going to keep things running as it was running off of Patreon donations from the users.
Yeah.
And it was all under his name. Yeah. So they're looking into it to try and keep everything running. It is a very unfortunate loss for the Visual Novel fan base. Because they had access to so many titles and it was really the easiest place to get stuff done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, it's still live at the moment. It does seem like it's paid up at least for a couple of months, but the actual team has to figure out how to...
Move forward.
Yeah, like...
That's rough.
Like, the moderator team still are helping out and doing stuff, but yeah, it's a bit rough. So hopefully we'll get some information on that. Belia, who is one of the main moderators on there, has put a post up on their forum saying, as many of you may already suspected, we've lost our founder and soul, Yor-Hell, who passed away on 17th of March 2026. We don't know how old Yor-Hell is. My understanding is they're actually quite young, so it was premature. We don't know the cause. Obviously, he's going to be dearly missed, and as people have said, a great friend and a great boss. Mm. So it's really disappointing. But if you're going to spare a couple of bucks and you use the Visual Novel Database, keep an eye out for when they do announce what's going forward for their funding model and give them a bit of support so they can get back on their feet. Because obviously, right now, they don't know how to sort it out. And they're obviously finding out how to contact Yor-Hell's family from an online space where anonymity is key.
A little complicated.
A little bit complicated. So, fingers crossed, we'll find out a bit more. Obviously, moderation teams preserving the website can't provide details at the moment. This started back in 2007, so it's been running for almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And visual novels are a massive part of the anime and manga community.
Yeah, like, so many series are based on them.
Yeah, Fate.
Oh, right?
God damn.
Yeah, like, it's such a vital part. And, like, visual novels have spawned so many different things, like Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big name in the visual novel scene. It's a big name in the anime scene.
Higurashi.
It's such a popular medium that it's such a shame to have somebody so vital to the scene...
Yeah, pass away.
Yeah.
Such a pivotal member of the community. Mm-hmm.
So, look, if we hear any more news about how that changes, we'll let you know. But we do know, obviously, some of our followers are visual novel players and do use the site. So, we figured it was definitely worth letting you know. Alrighty. On to slightly more positive news. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice is getting a game.
A No,
it's already got a game.
Sorry, an anime.
Yes,
it's called Sekiro No Defeat.
It's getting a game from From Software. People are excited about From Software making this game.
They made it about 5 years ago.
And it was really good.
It kind of was, but oh, hell. Look, it's like this is sort of a tangent on the like subject of the video games. They're hard. The FromSoft games titles are hard. That's what they're for. That's the entire basis of their appeal is that they will challenge you and rip your soul apart in a good way. Mm. Sekiro is the hardest of them.
Oh. Is Sekiro Shadows Die Twice harder than Elden Ring?
Elden Ring is easy compared to a lot of these games. It's on the lower end of the scale.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize
Sekiro
that.
Is on top of the pile because, oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, yes. It is getting an anime. Sorry, I had the data here. Mm-hmm. Director Kenichi Kutsuna, known for One Punch Man.
Mm-hmm. No, Chainsaw Man.
And One Punch Man.
Oh, and One Punch Man. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Ah.
Season 1, 2, or 3?
I don't want to question that.
Yeah.
Coming Ignorance from Studio Quzilla.
Quzilla. They're relatively young as a studio. They came out in 2021. They did this season's Champignon Witch, and they've got a show coming up next season, which is like a comedy isekai as well. So that'll be good.
But so yeah, they are in charge of this, and it's going to be hand drawn, mm-hmm. which is, you know, a choice
they've had
for something that's like so action oriented, so bloody, and just so swift and quick. Everything about this game is about moving fast and basically not thinking about it.
Ultra Instinct.
Now,
yes,
it is worth noting that they had to put out a statement in August that everything in this series is hand-drawn. To best convey the unique appeal of the original game, producing entirely with hand-drawn 2D animation, and there is no use of generative AI whatsoever, as someone apparently on social media claimed that they were using AI. And this was after just seeing the picture. So there was no evidence or anything that showed that. So yeah, all staff members are united in their commitment to this production, pouring their heart and soul into every cup. We appreciate your continued support.
There is a lot of love going into this. In fact, the voice cast is all the original voice cast from the game as well.
This is true, yeah.
So there is a lot of respect for this. I don't know. I always worry about doing a FromSoft thing in sort of like a, how do I put it, a linear story format.
Mm.
Sekiro was quite different to Dark Souls and Elden Ring in that respect, but
what? There's something over there, or
yeah, I keep hearing like crinkling.
It's Kenny playing with his pants.
Sorry,
playing with the Velcro. Oh, and I've got this on here, which is why it was covering that sound.
Yeah,
sorry about that, friend.
But, so yeah, I thought there was a cat at the door, like
like part of the appeal for like Elden Ring and Dark Souls is that you're not really given the story.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sort of play detective to figure out what the hell is going on. Sekiro is different to that, but still putting it into a linear story almost feels wrong.
Yeah. So it was announced at GamesCon in August, and that's obviously where people were like, oh, it's going to be AI, and it's like, no, it's not.
Having watched the trailer myself, I can't see the AI. I'm not an expert, but
Crunchyroll's streaming it worldwide, excluding Japan, China, Korea, Russia, and Belarus, because Russia and Belarus now don't get anything because of sanctions. Stop invading people. that's what you get. No anime for you. And the theatrical version of it is going to play throughout Japan in 2026 in cinemas. We don't have a release date for the full series version of it. That's hopefully we'll get confirmation in the lead up as we get a bit closer.
It looks really good.
It does. Complete random side tangent. Tank Chair Manga is getting a TV anime with Polygon Pictures. This could either be fantastic or terrible because Polygon, I don't know why, but Polygon seemed to have kind of went too far into their CG that they haven't taken on the new adaptation and thought they had new versions and looks better.
And I mean,
it looks a little bit off sometimes.
Just the subject for this one just looks silly.
Yeah. Shizuka takes on the most dangerous of assassin jobs, but she's not one doing the killing. Rather, it's her brother Nagi, a strong assassin who took a bullet to protect his sister, leaving him in a comatose state and having to use a wheelchair. Shizuka has figured out the key to waking her brother up. He must be faced with killing intent. It's putting a guy in the wheelchair in dangerous situations to wake him up.
He's in a combat wheelchair.
Yeah,
violent. I want him journey in Sakamoto Days.
That's the crossover we need.
Yep.
So yeah.
All the animes are connected.
Just because Sakamoto has those burst stories, he's like, oh, I could.
Also, we have some short, quick bits of news regarding the One Piece live action. It ranked at number one on Netflix Global when it launched, and we are expecting the third season to get an announcement for its next run.
Have you heard? It's very soon. Like looking at 12 seasons.
Yeah,
which is nuts.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it. But
like, even for the fact that they are like slicing and dicing so much out of the anime and the manga to just have a coherent and, you know, reasonable storyline, so that all the actors don't look like the cast of Stranger Things.
Well, I think they said season 3 is already finished recording.
Yeah. It's in production. Recording is finished, and their script writers are apparently working on season 4 script currently.
It's just, yeah.
So
to get all this stuff out before the cast can like become far too old to be feasible.
Well, I saw a joke.
It's
going to
be such a bloody task.
Yeah.
I saw a joke talking about how by the time they get to Gear 5, he will have grey hair.
Oh, yeah, that's been flying around. Fan images and stuff like that.
That'll be good. But look, as we mentioned earlier, it's really good. Go watch it. And it's going to keep rolling. And it looks like it has done well enough to continue going on with the push, which is what we want to see, because it deserves
bloody
it.
Bloody seasons. That's, I know, right? Stargate level nonsense.
Yeah, in the good way. Hopefully they won't then move to a different platform and then get cancelled for something that happened 15 years before, because that's when we're Stargate. They got bought by a sci-fi channel, and then the new CEO didn't like that the first episode had a tiny bit of nudity in it, and that's the only episode which does at all.
Wait, seriously?
That's seriously why he cancelled it. Yeah.
God, I hate people.
And then, because they bought the exclusive rights, they had to wait for those rights to expire to revert back to MGM, and then when that happened, MGM was bought out by Amazon. So that's why we're now getting a new Stargate with some of the original team involved as advisors and one of the script writers as the director. So it could be okay, or it could be a dumpster fire. We'll see. It's Amazon. Could go either way. Anyway, complete tangent. That's all the news we've got for you today. We'll be back in a sec.
Wi-Fi Radio.
That's where we're going to leave things for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Next episode.
Oh, it's the next season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The
spring anime season is upon
spring
us.
Spring has sprung.
Spring season, which had to tell you.
Yes, it does mean which had to tell you for Penny, finally.
It means Pyotsugoi.
God. Look, it was supposed to release last season. Mm. And then the team were like, okay, we don't want to release it. We want to make sure that it's nicely polished.
The polish looks nice.
The polish looks so good.
This is going to be up there. So look, as always, big thank you to our Patreon members for their support. And if you want more content, details are in the description where you can find our Patreon page, which has additional videos and a whole extra podcast, which is uncensored and for adults only.
You get to say the naughty words.
So yeah, you also find our socials down there as well, which we will be more active on as we get things now that the brand update is finished. But that's it.
Yay.
This was great decision to watch Sandland.
Well, oh, absolutely.
Well considered, Aaron.
Please play it. Please.
Yep. Play it. Enjoy it.
Steam version.
The Steam version is on sale for 50% off. So that's where we're going to leave things. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Kawaii Radio. And until next time,
watch some anime.
Hey, what's it mean if your closet says Chevron 7 locked?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.